97. You can listen to these words from our Lord. The Lord reigns. Let the earth rejoice. Let the many islands be glad. Clouds and thick darkness surround him. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of his throne. Fire goes before him and burns up his adversaries round about. His lightnings lit up the world. The earth saw and trembled. The mountains melted like wax at the presence of the Lord, at the presence of the Lord of the whole earth. The heavens declare his righteousness, and all the peoples have seen his glory. Let all those be ashamed who serve graven images, who boast themselves of idols. Worship him, all you gods. Zion heard this and was glad, and the daughters of Judah have rejoiced because of your judgments, O Lord. For you are the Lord Most High over all the earth. You are exalted far above gods. Hate evil, you who love the Lord, who preserves the soul of his godly ones. He delivers them from the hand of the wicked. Light is sown like seed for the righteous, and gladness for the upright in heart. Be glad in the Lord, you righteous ones, and give thanks to his holy name. Let's bow before the Lord in prayer. As we bow our hearts before the Lord, just silently where you are this morning, would you offer words of thanksgiving to God today? Father, we thank you for your abundant blessings in our lives. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. We thank God for all of his friends, and he named them one by one. And then he began to thank God for his mom and his dad, his brother and his sister, his grandma and his grandpa, and his aunts and his uncles. And he named them all. And then he began to thank God for the turkey and the dressing and the giblet gravy and the green bean casserole and the sweet potatoes and the pies and the cakes. Notice those are plural. And even the Cool Whip. And then he paused. And everyone waited. And the pause continued. Finally, the little boy looks up to find his mom looking at him. And he says, "If I thank God for the broccoli, won't God know it's a lie?" I hope you'll be thankful this week. Just don't lie to God. Even a four-year-old boy knows God will have that one figured out. But I do hope that you are thankful this week. That you will have perhaps a basket of Thanksgiving. We'll get to the basket here in just a little bit. Our text this morning comes from Deuteronomy chapter 26. Probably if you thought, well, our pastor might preach about Thanksgiving today, you probably would not have guessed the passage of Scripture. Deuteronomy chapter 26, you can turn there. We're going to get to it in just a minute. Let me give you some background to the text before we get there. Our text, chapter 26 of Deuteronomy, is the last chapter in what the author of Deuteronomy fashioned is a well laid out, well constructed legal corpus that began with chapter 12. So what we find is the concluding chapter that began with the introductory chapter 12. Prior to where we to chapter 12 is the the version found in Deuteronomy of the Ten Commandments. And so we get this legal code between chapter 12 and chapter 26 that's laid out for the nation of Israel. Now, lest we start to think that this legal code is a bunch of regulations and rules to bring about control and conformity, we need to understand that the legal code given to these people, to God's people, is given to them in a setting of worship. Given to them in a setting of worship. So it's not there just as, well, heavy-handed, here's a legal code. But no, out of a relationship of a God who has selected his people in the course of worship where they relate with God, he gives to them this legal code. Chapter 12 begins with worship. So they start out before receiving the legal code. They begin with worship. The call to worship was for the people to seek a place that God would choose for worship, and that they would destroy the places of the gods of the nations. Chapter 26 returns to a more worship structure. But notice at chapter 26, the place has been chosen, and the context has been set. In the span of chapter 12 to chapter 26, the worshipers change. At chapter 12, it involved the first generation of people. So in our context, we would be talking about the people who planted Emmanuel Baptist Church. These are the people who bought the land, built the first building, established Emmanuel Baptist Church. Chapter 26 is the second generation, and it is us. And we are to continue to build on what was done before us. So now let's turn to Deuteronomy 26, verses 1 to 11 is our reading. Then it shall be, when you enter the land which the Lord your God gives you as an inheritance, and you possess it and live in it, that you shall take some of the first of all the produce of the ground which you bring in from your land that the Lord your God gives you. And you shall put it in a basket and go to the place where the Lord your God chooses to establish his name. You shall go to the priest who is in office at that time and say to him, I declare this day to the Lord my God that I have entered the land which the Lord swore to our fathers to give us. Then the priest shall take the basket from your hand and set it down before the altar of the Lord your God. You shall answer and say before the Lord your God, my father was a wandering Aramean, and he went down to Egypt and sojourned there, few in number, but there he became a great, mighty, and populous nation. And the Egyptians treated us harshly and afflicted us and imposed hard labor on us. Then we cried to the Lord, the God of our fathers, and the Lord heard our voice and saw our affliction and our toil and our oppression. And the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm and with great terror and with signs and wonders. And he has brought us to this place, and he has given us this land, a land flowing with milk and honey. Now behold, I have brought the first of the produce of the ground which you, O Lord, have given me. And you shall set it down before the Lord your God and worship before the Lord your God. And you and the Levite and the alien who is among you shall rejoice in all the good which the Lord your God has given you and your household. Our Father, speak to us today from your word. Father, we are thankful that in our country we have a time and a season set aside nationally for Thanksgiving. Probably too much of the time, it is a time to consume too much food, to watch too much football, and obviously to begin shopping way too early in this day and age. And perhaps too little Thanksgiving actually goes on. Oh, Father, convict your people that we need to be a people of deep gratitude and strong expressions of thanksgiving to you. Anoint me this morning, Father, for the proclamation of your word, that you would be able to speak through me as your servant this morning, that you would speak to our hearts. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Our response to God's blessing is worship, expressed in thanksgiving, offered individually but done in community. Offered individually but done in community. God's people in our text today were to give thanks to God for what he had given them, for what he had done for them. So let's look at this context of them. Seven times in the 11 verses that we read today, We find the word give. Six of those times relate directly to God and what God had given to the people. In verses 1 to 3, that God has given them the land. And that's said over and over and over. He's given them the land. In verses 9 to 11, God has given them other blessings. And so he lays out for them other blessings. And they are to respond to God with thanksgiving for the blessings God has given to them. That's their response, is to give back to God a worship of thanksgiving for all that he has done. If we put it in our context, what about us, Emmanuel Baptist Church? And we have a 51-year history. A 51-year history. A friend of mine this morning on Facebook, I saw a post from a friend of mine who said, it seems like the Civil War was probably a strange time to plant a church, but thankful for the folks in Decatur, Georgia, who started a church, and today is their 150th anniversary. So how wonderful for them, and how wonderful for our sisters and brothers in that place. It's a 51-year history for us, for land that we own, upon which we have buildings, and we're thankful for that, for those pastors through the years, and church members and people God brought in and have moved out, and all of the stuff and coming and going that happens in our city. For the Baptist Hospitality House, what a wonderful ministry for us, for missions, for church planting, for cooperation with Minnesota Wisconsin Baptist Convention, all of those types of things we can mention, and many of you could probably create a much longer list than I can. I will be able to more later on. But there's something else I want us to see in these verses of 26, in chapter 26 of Deuteronomy, verses 1 to 11. Probably something that gets overlooked, and had somebody else not pointed it out to me, I would have overlooked it, because it's something that we look at not only in chapter 26, but really all the way from 12 to 26. We see these first 11 verses, but this is something that happens through each of these chapters. Chapter 12 begins, and the community is addressed, and all of the verbs and all of the pronouns are plural. All the verbs and all the pronouns are plural when we begin at chapter 12. But by the time we get to chapter 26, all the pronouns and all of the verbs are singular. And actually, through these chapters, through these 15 chapters, it oscillates back and forth numerous times, going from plural to singular, plural to singular, plural to singular. Why? What does that mean? What is that saying for us? The language and verbiage suggests that even as each individual makes her or his way to worship, the journey and the experiences are enwrapped in the story of the community. Our stories mingle together, because none of us are in this completely by ourselves. We are individuals, yes, and God made you and formed you and knows who you are, yes. God saved you and redeemed you, yes. But God saved you and put you in a body of faith, in a family, in a community of people together, and there our stories mingle together. None of us are individuals all by ourselves. While we are individuals, yes, we get to also share community, and how wonderful for us. Every one of us matter. Those who have gone before us matter. They are important. And all of us here and now matter, and we are important, every one of us. As I thought about this the other day, I started thinking about how much we all mean together, and as I am prone to do, I was able to think of it in terms of football. Sorry, I like football. Yesterday was a really good football day. I'll tell you more about that later. But anyway, I just stopped and thought about this for a few minutes. And I realized that, and you need to know, while I like football, there are people who are much more avid football fans than I am. But I could sit there and think and name 21 of the 32 starting quarterbacks in the NFL. Kind of crazy. I should have asked Tanner. He probably could have given me the other 11. But anyway, but I could name 21 of the 32 starting quarterbacks in the NFL. And for the Eagles, I could even name the one who won't start today in the replacement. That's just crazy, but I could. Anyway, but I will tell you this. I could not name a single starting left tackle. And you may think, big deal, left tackles. Who knows those guys? Quarterbacks. And here's why. While quarterbacks are obviously the prima donnas of most teams, and we all know who they are, and even if you're not a fan, you can probably name a few quarterbacks. They are typically the highest paid guy on the team, are real close to that. What you may not know is left tackles are the best offensive linemen on the team, and usually one of the five best paid players on the team. Why? Because most quarterbacks are right-handed. Most are right-handed. And the left tackle has the quarterback's blind side. Most left tackles have Joe Theismann to thank for their salary. Those of you who watch football long enough remember when Joe Theismann got his leg broke. Because his left tackle couldn't block. And the game changed. You know, we can't name left tackles, but they matter. Because they're on a team and they work together. We are a church body. And every one of you, every one of us matters to the body. God knows who you are. The scripture says God knows the number of hairs on your head. Some of you, that's harder than others. Some of you, it's pretty easy. I live in a house full of a bunch of girls. I don't know how God could keep up with all the hair I find in my house. But anyway, all of those kinds of things that go on. But you matter to this body. You, as an individual, you come together and God puts you in this body and you are here. It doesn't matter whether you've been here a long time or a short amount of time. We don't have anybody here that I know of been here since the beginning. But we've got some been around here a long time. Whether you have some elected place of leadership or not, whether you talk a lot or you're one of those quiet ones, whether you show up as an individual or you arrive together with your family, whether you are young or older, notice I said older, I didn't call any of you old, you matter to this body. You are important to this body. And this chapter, this legal corpus, this writing in Deuteronomy shifts between the individual and the community, between the plural and the singular and back and forth. And I think what it says to us is that you come individually before God, but we get to do so individually together in the community of faith. And it enriches our experience with God. And you enrich our experience with God because you show up and you participate and you're a part of it. It's a beautiful thing. A wonderful thing. And these worshipers who come individually but join together with this body are told to bring a basket. So I brought my basket today. And they bring a basket of the first fruits of the harvest. And you may be thinking, well, you know, they do that. We don't do that very well anymore. You know, we write checks or bring cash or whatever the case may be. And we forget about it sometimes and how to do that. But they would bring the first fruits of the harvest. And in fact, they had a basket that would have some grass or something from the field where they were selecting the harvest tied to it. And the first fruits of the harvest went in that basket, and it was marked so that they would know which ones were first. And those were the ones that they would take, because they were the first ones. A week ago or so, I was talking with Bob Stockland, and something came up about tithing and giving to the Lord, and said at their home, their practice has always been the first check they write after getting paid is to the Lord. Doesn't matter where in the week it falls in relation to Sunday. That's the first check they wrote. And I don't know which one it was, but one of them forgot to write the check. And the other one said, he or his wife, one said to the other, are you going to carry around God's money all week? Because that's what first. And so the instruction for the people was the first fruits. So whatever they picked first, and they had to have some way to mark it. And they would put it in a basket, and they would take it to the temple, and they would give it to the priest, and here are my first fruits, and they were to be to worship the Lord and to express thanksgiving. Well, mine comes on pieces of paper with words on them. Things for which I am thankful today as we gather here. I am thankful for the folks who were the pastor search committee at Emmanuel Baptist Church, because if it weren't for these wonderful people, I wouldn't be here. So I am thankful for those folks. Although one of them has been gone most of the time since I got here, and I don't know what that says, but I'll ask him about that next week, because he should be back week after next, I think. Anyway, I'm thankful for our worship band. Aren't they good? Aren't they doing a great job? I'm just so thankful for them. And some of them run around and they keep figuring out some way to get together and lead us in worship. I'm thankful for our Sunday school teachers who study and get ready and prepare, all the way from the little bitty ones to you older folks and all of that. I'm thankful for our Baptist Hospitality House. It's a great thing in a ministry, and we don't usually meet the people who are there and those kinds of things, and we understand all of that, and sometimes they don't need us around, but what an opportunity for us to do that. Here's something we haven't needed yet, but I know about this, and you may not even know I know about this one yet, but I'm really thankful for the relationship with Baptist Men, which provides the truck that operates the snowplow that we'll need at some point before the winter is over. The Knox House, we're very thankful for our house. The one here, I'm still thankful for the other one. I just wish somebody else had it. So I'm thankful for the Evangelical Pastors Fellowship in town. I don't know if you know that there is one, but there is one. And I don't know how many of us are in that group, because every time I've been, I see some of the same faces but different faces at the same time. But it's pastors who gather together, and we get to talk and fellowship together, and it's a great thing. I am thankful for those servants who serve in the nursery on a rotating basis, and you probably are thankful for them as well. I'm thankful for our technology people. There's always somebody sitting in that booth back there, and sometimes others who are helping out and make all the stuff work, and how wonderful that is, because we'd be in real trouble if the pastor had to do that. Not as much trouble as we would be in if you expected the pastor to lead the singing. We'd be in real trouble. Our property. It's great that we have land and we have property for buildings and those kinds of things. For our cooperation with the Minnesota-Wisconsin Baptist Convention, just as a reminder, we're not in this by ourselves. We get to join with others. I'm thankful for the Bible. You know, we may take it for granted sometimes. You know, I have so many copies of them, and then, you know, I carry around electronic copies of those, and I have, I don't know how many altogether, and you start putting all those together. But the fact that we have the Bible, isn't that a wonderful blessing? And then, you know, we can open different versions and read from all of those, and it helps us and it speaks to us, and we learn from things. I remember one of my professors when I was in seminary missed the first week of class. Now, I would have been in trouble if I missed the first week of class, but he wasn't in trouble because he was in Russia teaching Russian Baptist pastors. And he asked the question how many translations they have of the scriptures. And I just looked at him. What do you mean, translations, plural? We have one. So So those of you who got your iPads or your iPhones or your, or whatever you may have this morning, and you can just scroll through and read all these different versions, be very, very thankful. At my house, and your pastor is very thankful for fun surprises from my church family, like last week, and what a great blessing that was. Today, I am really thankful for Baylor Bear football. How about those Baptist kids who, by the way, it's just really fun to be in a spot where the Catholics have to tell the Baptists on the Brazos, thank you, because today they get to be number one. And then this one's blank. It's a reminder my list could go on and on and on. But we bring this basket of thanksgiving to the Lord and we offer thanks. So I want to give to you a suggestion. Okay? I want to give to you a suggestion. We're going to do this at my house this week, even though my family doesn't know because I didn't give the suggestion to my family yet. But I want you to find some kind of a basket at your house. I don't care what kind it is. And it might be a bowl, and that works for you. And get some scrap paper and a pencil. And I want to encourage you this week just to, as you think of them, write on those scrap pieces of paper things for which you are thankful and put them in your basket. And then whether you do it on Thursday or Thursday's too chaotic and you do it later in the week, but then sometime in the end of the week, as a family, sit down and go through that basket. Let everybody in your house write on them, okay? And put them in that basket. But as a family, think about, what are those things, what are those blessings that we have from God? And we can give thanks to the Lord for those things. So let me encourage you to do that this week as a way to focus on being thankful to the Lord and offering your worship to the Lord. And as we do that, and you're thankful for that, and you may find some things by the end of the week, you're talking to somebody outside your family about those things for which you're thankful for. Our thankfulness to God is able to connect our story to the larger story of God's work across history. We need to celebrate what God is doing now and what God is doing with us, but recalling that we are a part of a larger community that is basked in the faithfulness of God all along, all across the ages. You can count your blessings and you can name them, and you need to do so, and I hope you will do so. But if you're not careful, you individualize your story to the point that you do not connect it to a shared larger story. And you don't live in a vacuum. You're not all alone. Your story is not that individualized. You are connected to a larger story, and your individual gift of gratitude is best understood when it's rooted in the larger community of your church, of your family, and really all the way back to biblical history. We are not alone. There's this larger connection. Connected to church. We've done some of that this morning, hopefully already. To your family. I mean, what a great blessing it is. We're very blessed. In my family, my kids grow up with two sets of grandparents who were faithful, loving, Christian people. One set's already gone to be with the Lord. The other set's still physically on earth. And those histories go back even beyond them. And a faithfulness to be at church and to be active and to be involved, which took shape in their parents' lives and take shape in our children's lives. And there's a larger story. And churches across the ages that have impacted us and touched us and molded us and shaped us. So as you think about those things for which you are thankful this week, connect them to the larger story of your church, of your family, of God's family, larger than just Emmanuel Baptist Church. And express it in some way. Perhaps that expressing it, of giving it to the Lord, is the fact that you're going to write it out this week and put it in a basket. And at some point, your family will share those together. And you can offer that as a gratitude gift to God. to say thank you to God. And don't be afraid. Write anything. And don't think, oh, it has to be something big and amazing and wonderful. After all, I put Baylor Bear football on one of them. I mean, you know, that's compared to some of these others, just really doesn't matter a whole lot. But so all kinds of blessings that we can acknowledge and give to the Lord. And they celebrated, we find in Deuteronomy 26, with God's people and with the Levite and with the alien in the land, and they shared together. We get to share together. Earlier in the sermon, I told you in verses 1 to 11, there were seven uses of the word give. I don't know if you kept track, I only talked about six of them. That six of them were from God giving to the people. The seventh one was found from the Egyptians who imposed slavery on God's people. It's the same word. Doesn't sound like much of a way to give anything, but that word translated imposed is the same word as God gave to them. Not the kind of giving you want to receive. It was harsh and it was demanding and it was difficult. And sometimes we go through things that are harsh and demanding and difficult, and they are put into our lives or put upon our lives for whatever reason and whatever purpose. But if we will let them, we will realize those make the good gifts all that much sweeter and all that much more precious. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the good gifts you give to us. What a wonderful blessing that is for us. We thank you for all that you have done for us in that way and in that regard. Oh Lord, you are a wonderful, amazing, marvelous, incredible God. And if we were to really count our blessings and name them one by one, every one of us would have a long list this week. And sometimes it's good for us to do that. Father, for Emmanuel Baptist Church, we thank you for the good gifts you have given to us. May we use them well. May we offer them back to you. We thank you for our history and those who started Emmanuel Baptist and founded her and planted her here and did some of that hard work in those early days. And we benefit from that. Father, may we be mindful to come into worship, realizing that each of us are individuals, but we are tied to a larger community. And Father, what a sweet blessing that is. We're not in this all by ourselves, but we have a church community. We share life together with one another, and we help each other, and we encourage one another, and we have our families. And many will get to see those extended families this week and share fellowship with them, and we're thankful for that. And Father, all of these good gifts come from you, and we thank you, and we offer them to you. And we say thank you. In Jesus Christ's name that we pray. Amen. How do you need